to the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5, 35 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. Thank you very much for listening. Still to come on the program, State Representative Chris Blackshear, that's in the next hour. We got Barry Madsen from the Alabama District Attorneys Association, that's in the 11 o'clock hour, and we'll wrap it all up as for whatever reason we always do with Dale Jackson from WVNN. So please... Please stick around for that. We really do appreciate you listening. Joining us now, he's from Barber County, one of the coolest places in the state. You can visit there sometimes. You got to go check out Eufaula and some places out that way if you ever have the opportunity. But he's from Clayton. State Senator Billy Beasley on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing just fine this morning. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Well, let's kick it off here. I guess before we get into the nitty gritty, the session so far, just a few days remaining, but it seems like you've had a very productive session, to say the least, coming out of COVID last year. But it's been at a pretty steady tick.
Yeah, I think we've had a real positive session so far. Senate has passed the gaming bill. Passed the general fund last week. Sent it back down. I sent it back down to the House, I believe. And the education trust funds also passed. Biggest $8.2 billion in education trust funds, and the general fund about $2.4 billion. So things are doing well in Alabama. You know, sales tax revenues I think are up, and everything's going well.
Well, I tell you what's remarkable is just the spirit of the bipartisan cooperation. When we talk about politics, it's R versus D, but at least in your chamber there does seem to be, you don't really see that partisan divide like maybe you had once upon a time in Alabama.
Yeah, I think we've got a good group of senators that represent their districts well, work together on issues that are important to the people of Alabama. So I think the freshman class that came in 18 is a good group of young men.
Well, you know, we still got a year left of this quadrennium, so we're watching it for sure. But I think it's certainly an interesting time in Alabama politics right now. But speaking of which, I wanted to get you on. I know this is important to your district in particular, but the prison deal, Kay Ivey's lease bill proposal, it's hit a couple of snags. The biggest one being the underwriters are backing away. Barclays has backed away from wanting to underwrite it, and now it looks like the legislature is going to be more involved, and at least that's kind of the buzz around Montgomery. First off, where are you right now on that whole issue? Because it's such a big deal to your district. But
I have three facilities in my district that have been in. I think Bullitt County opened maybe in '86. Clow and Easterland at Clow and Ventris and Clayton opened '88, '89 there. But it's, you know, our facilities were recruited for jobs, and it's been important to our region of the state for employment, and it's been good for our area, and we're doing everything we can to protect the facilities that we have. I'm also concerned about, you know, talking about the facilities they're going to close, but they certainly not going to close them all, and I'm hoping that facilities in my district will remain. The towns have invested a lot of money in the infrastructure to provide water and sewage for the prison sites. I don't know. My feeling all along, I never have been for building new prisons, big mega prisons. I just don't think that's the way to go. A friend of mine who was mayor of Clow several years ago, Jack Pelfrey, he's no longer mayor, but he did an extensive study of the facility that was built in Pennsylvania. It was a mega prison, and the study really revealed the most important thing to me is that the smaller facilities are safer. And that's, you know, we have small facilities in Alabama, and of course not as safe as they need to be, but my emphasis has always been on let's recruit the best correctional officers that we can, and we need to pay them more.
Yeah, because that seems to be a lot of the problem. The brick and mortar itself leaves some to be desired. They're antiquated facilities. But when you hear about the problems, when you read the DOJ complaint, you see where there's just a sort of a mismanagement crisis, or there's a lot of bad actors within the system. It's figuring out what the remedy could be. And it seems like the remedy, at least the biggest solution you're hearing from policymakers and lawmakers, is, well, we just need to build new facilities and update the technology.
Well, I think you could do that with the existing facilities. You can certainly have a strong security system that's electronic. And I just think that's the thing to do. And on top of that, in every area, I know the facilities in my district, we have an abundance of extra land that that we don't have to go buy more property. I'm just concerned about the escalation in cost. How in the world are we going to be able to afford? You know, they started talking about leasing maybe $85 million a year. Now I think it's closer to 100 or maybe more. And every estimate that I read, that it appears to me that the cost is going to be higher than anticipated. So I don't know. My theory has been all along, let's renovate the facilities that we have, because I'm going to tell you, you build a house, you're going to have maintenance problems. And you build a new mega facility for the prisons, you're going to continue to have maintenance problems.
Have you interacted with the governor's office much about this? I know she had set up a commission to look at what to do. Should they decommission some of these prisons, put something in place to fill that void? I assume you've reached out and said, hey, I don't like where this is headed, or I don't like the idea of building new prisons and not including my district or ones in Barber or Bullitt County.
I have met with Governor Ivey on several occasions since she's been governor. And, pleading my case, I don't know. I hadn't been very successful. Her response is that she just feels like we need to build new prisons, but I just don't believe that's the answer. Well, I think we need to do something about sentencing. You know, I think they had a bill this past week trying to reduce the charges on marijuana. Well, it failed in the Senate. So I don't know. A lot of the offenses are drug related, and I think we need to do a better job on education our young people and folks that are involved in the drug area, which is really a major concern. Probably the majority of the offenses in the state are drug related.
Taking away or doing something with the sentencing with drug-related crimes, I guess the thinking is that you could reduce the prison population and take some of that burden off what the DOJ is looking at.
That's right. I think that's exactly right, Jeff. I think I just believe that's the approach to take. You know, when you have a real hard criminal, then that's different than the folks that are being arrested for possession of marijuana. You know, I don't know. I'm real concerned about it. I'm afraid it's going to be a high cost. It's going to be hard to fund. And that's my major concern, that and losing my three sites in my district.
Are you worried? I know there's just a few days remaining in this session, but do you think there's enough? Maybe there's a possibility, at least, that the Senate and the House and the governor at the last minute get something done before you sign and die?
Well, I tell you right now, we ain't got but 3 days left. I don't know if you have enough time to do that. Nothing was addressed in the general fund about the new facilities. I don't know. I certainly hope she doesn't call a special session to do this.
Well, I guess the thinking is you would bond it. Bond rates are real cheap right now. They're very low. And rather than doing a lease where you pay year to year, you could borrow the money now while it's real cheap, and there seems to be some momentum, or at least when you talk to other members, that seems to be something they're open to. Do you think that might be the direction you got to be on the watch out for?
Well, I guess that would be true, but, you know, we're going to go out and purchase new properties, and the contracts that they signed with, was it Core Civic?
Right.
Out of Tennessee. Well, they didn't have a very good track record in the beginning. And now their shareholders are suing them for $56 million. I don't know that's an organization that I'd want to have a contract with.
Well, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of these companies out there that do this kind of work. And, the two that are involved, one, and it just seems to be a consortium of a bunch of companies that are here locally. It really does, leave a lot of questions, but we'll see. Just got a few minutes remaining here, Senator, before we have to let you go. But I want to get your thoughts on the gambling situation. You indicated you got the bill out of the Senate. Do you feel pretty good about what was accomplished there with the gaming gaming package?
You know, the gaming measure passed 31-0 in the Senate, and it's going to create jobs. It's going to the bottom line is Constitution Amendment. It allows the people to vote. And from everything I'm hearing, the people want to vote on this measure. Whether it's yes or no. And most of the polls say it's very favorable. And, you know, I have Victor Land in my district. It's important to me. At one time, they employed about 2,500 people. And they're trying to come back, but it's been difficult. But we're doing pretty well over there right now. But if we get the gaming measure passed and the people of Alabama vote on it, then we can get our employment back up to what it was. And, you know, some of the measures, I mean, it's full gaming, you know, electronic bingo, table games. And from what I understand, sports betting will generate more revenue than anything. Just think how much money was placed on the Kentucky Derby this past Saturday. I think we need to regulate gaming and generate some revenue for the state of Alabama.
Do you worry about the societal impact, the what gambling does to community? You have it there in Macon County, as you mentioned, but it doesn't seem like we've had that discussion a whole lot in this go around of with gaming.
Well, you know, we have gaming now. I mean, if you want to participate in gaming, all you got to do is get on your smartphone, get the app up, and away you go. And I mean, it's everywhere. You know, it's in the state of Alabama, and the people of Alabama, they want to vote on this issue. We've been talking about it for the last 20 years, and 1999, they voted down the lottery and Hope scholarships and everything. But we passed enabling legislation in the Senate, and several members of the Senate were concerned that we needed to pass the enabling legislation. So we did that first and came back and passed the gaming measure. And I'm optimistic and very hopeful that we can get the measure passed in the Senate this week. In the House.
And last question on this. Are you pleased about where the revenues have been appropriated, let's say, for, all the gaming revenue?
I think so. You know, a lot of the money is going to go into broadband. A lot of the money is going into education, to some scholarships, with the primary focus on the two-year colleges, and which I think is important. Because, you know, everybody needs a skill. Everybody needs a skill. They need a trade. Everybody doesn't need to go to college. But we have to have people in the trades. And so, and there's also a measure about rural health care. Some of the revenue will go there.
It's certainly going to be a game changer. Senator, we do appreciate you making time for us this morning. I think it was a good conversation to talk about prisons. But let's do it again sometime real soon.
it's a pleasure to speak with you, and you do a good job, and so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to give a measure to the people where they can vote on the gaming issue.
Well, we're going to keep an eye on it. State Senator Billy Beasley on the line talking about prisons. Really a big part of his community there, Bullitt County and Barber County. There's three facilities, as he said, and left out of the mix are those three facilities that are included in Governor Ivey's, at least her lease bill plan. What might happen if that doesn't happen? Do those facilities remain or not? That remains to be seen, but certainly one to keep an eye on. Let's get a timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. When the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret.